Hello and welcome to another Keeneland special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for the races of Thursday, April 18th. PTF in the bunker, joined once again by Eric Solomon. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter.
Very excited to have you on here. Been really enjoying all the work you've been doing over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. Still wondering how you have the time to work, essentially, I'm going to call it four jobs between the two actual ones and then covering Oaklawn and Keeneland for us. But I assume it just comes down to the idea that you think sleep is a little overrated.
I mean, this time of year, absolutely. But, it's all the things that I like doing. It just all comes at the same time. So you know, it kind of covers all of my interests in general. So.
Are you planning on getting up to Saratoga again this year? Do you have plans? Because we certainly will have some very nice accommodations for you.
I'm definitely going to try and get up there. I might be able to get up there around Travers Week, which is normally kind of off the table for me, just as getting into the school year and things like that. But we're starting a week later because they're doing some transitioning of some buildings in our district, so that could be on the table.
Let us know.
I do have a trip to go out to Del Mar for the first time.
Fabulous. When's that?
The second Saturday in August, I believe.
Terrific. Well, that's going to be great fun. Let us know what help you need out there. Frank Scatoni might need a seminar guest. We might put you to work, but we can also make sure you get some top-notch accommodations.
I appreciate it. That'd be great.
But we're here today to talk Keeneland. And today we have an all-turf pick three. There was no all-turf pick three on the Wednesday card because there weren't three turf races, which is why we took the approach of the doubles. But the other bet we really love, in addition to these low takeout doubles, is the all-turf pick three. It starts today Thursday in race number five. We've got these three-year-old maiden fillies going a mile and a 16th on the turf. I thought this was an interesting competitive race. I went round and around before coming up with my opinion. Did you have a strong opinion on this race? What numbers will you be using on your tickets?
Well, I definitely saw that this one as one that you probably want a little bit of coverage in. Again, it's the same thing, kind of trying to make heads or tails out of this. I ended up going with the three Beyond Lucky as my top pick in this race. I ride Ortiz for Jonathan Thomas. This is Nyquist. I know we don't always think about Nyquist on the turf, but it does get 18% winners with horses routing for the first time on grass. I trust the human connections a lot, with Irad Ortiz riding for Jonathan Thomas. Good numbers kind of moving on to the dirt. I like this, moving on to the turf. Again, this is another turf way. Now, again, there are a lot of turf way runners in this race. But again, another turfway runner coming out of the debut was not great. But I don't think this horse wants to go six furlongs. So I think this horse drawing inside, stretching out makes a ton of sense in this spot. I also like the first time starter Waves of Mischief for Brendan Walsh, barn that knows how to get horses ready. Another horse. This horse has expectations. $575,000 purchase in April of last year, Into Mischief out of Mare Pearl River. Barn certainly capable of winning on debut. Tyler Gaffleone rides this course very well. I like the inside post here. Those are the two that I feel most strong about. Also, on underneath, maybe Centuria, the four horse, no speed at all on Gulfstream on the Tapita surface there, and trying to close from out of it can be a fool's errand on that course. I think you definitely want it to be forward, especially at the championship meet on that course. This horse did cover a lot of ground that day, that got within a little less than three lengths of the winner. Could be a horse that moves forward here. And then another first-time starter for Cherie DeVoe, number nine, Deep Satin. American Pharoah, 14% winners with turf routes. Jose Ortiz having a very good meet here. I think those connections make a lot of sense here in a race where I don't love a lot of the horses that have experience.
You had mentioned that Turfway Park angle on the Wednesday show, that there've been a lot of winners that have come from Turfway, more than you would think even. So that was something you were underlining in the case for Beyond Lucky, who I had in the mix, but more as a backup. Who did I make my top pick? I was really torn between two of them. I went with Kimber Spice as the top pick. Underrated barn in Michelle Lovell. And I was thinking maybe that first run had a bit the look of a prep. Wasn't really bet 11-1 that day. Ran on pretty well, I think exceeding expectations. And just on pedigree by Gunrunner out of the Bernardini Dam with a Sweet Promises, who's is the second dam here, Life is Sweet, who is a real runner. It's an interesting family, I think, for this Pennsylvania bred, for one who could stretch out and do well second out. So I wanted some twos in the mix. Centuria, I like quite a bit in this spot, who you mentioned is more of a backup. I don't think it's a case that she has no speed as much as she just didn't break and or wasn't ready off the long break first time North America last time. Because watching the Dundalk tape on Centuria, she's got speed. So I think she can break a lot better and be in the mix. And I suspect this one has ability and is going to be in the mix. And then you're Beyond Lucky, who you made the case for Jonathan Thomas and Cortland Farms. I definitely wanted this one in the mix. I guess I wanted the first-time starters to show it to me a little more. The fact that you mentioned two first-time starters tells me that is a clear indication that you're not overly enthused with the ones with form. I definitely respect those, but in a case of I don't want to play too many in this all-turf pick three, I'm going to probably just limit my action in this spot to the 2, 3, and 4 to start things out. I wrote you down with 3 and 1 on the A-line, 4 and 9 on the B-line. Any further thoughts on race number 5, or shall we move things ahead to the next leg?
No, I think we can move on.
Race 7, we've got an allowance race for fillies and mares going 5.5 on the turf. A turf sprint that didn't seem to have an abundance of speed, which led me to the idea of trying to get out of here with the 5 and the 9. The 5 current climate, I was thinking, would probably be the best speed coming out of that fast-paced turfway race. Got tired late on in there, suggesting this turn back to 5.5 might be to her liking. Was well handled on this course in the fall, going 5.5, but didn't break that day. And it was a much tougher group, according to the Timeform U.S. race ratings. I thought current climate could potentially go better with a front-running trip in here. And then you've got the 9 runner, You're So Silly, who has never raced on turf, which is curious, in 15 starts. But the horse has shown some ability, shown speed on the dirt, again with the slight turn back in distance. I thought could be a little bit interesting as a bit of an unknown quantity in here at what should be a price under Tyler Gaffalione. We were talking, I think, on the Wednesday show about the Sims Barn doing well with layoffs. That's in effect here as well. I was going to try 5 and 9, extremely open to other ideas, though. Didn't have the strongest opinion on this one. Thought I'd play the pace angle for what that was worth in this spot. Eric, how did you see it?
So I think that there's some interesting things going on in this race. The 6-horse Breeze Easy and the 12-horse Bling both ran on Saturday in the Giants Causeway. Now, Keeneland's been drawing their races earlier. So this race was drawn before the Giants Causeway was run. So if we go back to last week when weather was miserable for a good part of last week, several races taken off the turf. I feel like that these horses were entered as a backup in this spot, coming back, neither barn really is known for bringing horses back this quickly. It is Keeneland, so it's possible. But I'm going to handicap this race under the supposition that these horses are going to be scratched out of this race.
Okay.
So if you scratch those two, and then the first two horses that are on the also eligible list, the 13 Miss Arlington and the 14 Shoot Out the Lights, they draw in. That totally changes the pace dynamic, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of speed now on the outside. So I was looking for more of that mid-pack horse in this race, kind of thinking that way. Obviously, this is a race that we're going to want to check at the changes on, Thursday morning when they post them, and then kind of maybe readjust from there. But under that kind of scenario that I've played out in my head, I really like LJ's Emma in this spot in 3-horse. this is Eddie Keneally horse. This is a barn that has always done well with horses off the layoff. It's, you know, last 5 years, I think it's 22-23% off these longer layoffs. But with, you know, since 2003, that number is up to 40%. Really good with turf sprinters. This is a horse that really had a rough trip last time out at Keeneland in a similar kind of race. Don't think she was winning that day, but she was kind of totally blocked off in the stretch. Didn't really get a chance to run. Certainly wasn't going to finish eighth for if she had a little bit of a seam to run through. Just never got that. Saw this one up at Saratoga on a good course. Run really nice to win the Galway Stakes there at Long Odds last year. I just think this is a really nice filly making her 4-year-old debut. I think she's going to get the right trip here with Luis Saez. I like this horse a lot. This is one of my stronger opinions on the day, assuming that we get some of that pace set up from those horses coming off the Oslo eligible list.
That's a great case and one that I will definitely be working into the mix, I think, almost regardless of what happens with the scratches, but especially if you're right about those runners coming out. Any to come with LJ Zemma that you want to name check quick here before we move on to the third race?
If I'm going to back up, I'm going to back up with the one Marissa's Lady. Again, I think could sit that similar trip. If those outside horses opt not to run in, I do think she does have enough speed that could be a part of it. But also showed that she can kind of sit in that mid-pack trip. She had a real nice race here in October. So I think she's a horse that makes some sense in here too. But LJ Zemma is definitely the one for me.
No, it's a very compelling case and one that I'm definitely going to be working on to some tickets. We close out with another turf sprint going 5.5. These are maidens. 3 and up, 100,000 in the pot and a big full field signed on. Eric, when it comes to this all-turf pick 3 on Thursday, how are we going to get paid?
This is another race where I just don't love a lot of the form from the horses that have run. So I am going to make a couple of first-time starters on the A-line. I like what I'm seeing out of the 11 from scratch. This is a first-time starter by Flame Away. I think we're a promising sire, kind of under the radar a little bit.
His horses are winners.
Absolutely. 17% winners with turf sprints. Five of his horses are first-time starters in turf sprints. Two of them were winners, and kind of using that one-turn turf sprint, because I know sometimes when you do those filters on race lens, if you don't adjust the distance, I don't look at the 7.5 furlong races as a turf sprint, those two-turn races that – So I like to kind of filter out those to kind of those one turn races there.
Smart.
But again, working very well for a barn that you know, Grant Forrester certainly can get horses ready to win on debut.
Had a winner the other day.
Yep. Certainly can be flying under the radar. I think this horse makes some sense here. I like the outside post in this race. And then on the inside, Bougie Not Basic. A full sister to Red Carpet Ready, who's been doing good things on the dirt, and that one was a 10 length winner on debut again on dirt. But obviously Oscar Performance is, you know, another one of these kind of young sires. Their horses are winning on everything. 15% winners with turf sprinters, 15% winners with first-time starters. And, you know, Mike Maker, certainly, again, another trainer that certainly can get horses to win on debut. Don't love the rail, but again, another sharp work there. So those are the two that I'm kind of looking at here. From the horses that the other horses I want to use it with, the one with experience, I did end up putting Mo Lantern in there underneath. I don't love this horse, but I did think that race at Churchill was decent at 5.5. I thought it was kind of an odd move to go from 5.5 to 9 furlongs on synthetic for the next start, and then was kind of put away for a little while. But again, not just, you know, kind of an okay horse. Certainly wouldn't be a shock if she won. Probably going to be a little shorter than I'd like, but that'll be where I'll back up here.
I left her in the mix as well. I have Bougie Not Basic and Mo Lantern in the mix. I was going to try to use 3 here. I made Riley Jean the top pick. Getting back to this one, who I think is another they experimented with leaving in that off the turf race last time, but now getting back to the better surface. I was pretty impressed by the race two back, even though beaten Just figure wise, I thought it was like she's run pretty strong two times in a row. And I thought that that her tactical speed and finishing speed, finishing numbers would play well against these horses. And as a four-year-old filly in the spring, maybe can run back or maybe can improve off the numbers she was running in January and February. I thought was pretty interesting. Not super creative, fairly obvious horse, but I thought might be a chance to get a halfway decent price on a horse that's run some of the best numbers in the race. And I didn't have a lot on Mo Lantern other than just sort of obvious and fit. And again, might be better suited. Tells me something interesting that they're, you know, that they've gone long on synth and short on turf and opting to go back to short on turf. I'm hoping this is a case of this is what Mo Lantern wants to do, and not this is a starting point slash a prep. And you made the good pedigree case already. Nothing really to add on your case for Bougie Not Basic. One that I'll be including as well. So I had it 7-6-1. I had you with 11-1 on the A line, backing up with the B, backing up with the six as a B. And I think your case on From Scratch is strong enough. I'll probably try to work that one in somewhere as well. Appreciate that, and I think it's a good point. Forster underrated, I would say. Definitely somebody who can get horses ready to win and win at prices, as we've seen already in this meet. All right, that's what we're going to do for this show. Eric, really appreciate you. Folks who want more, check out all your work over at inthemoneypodcast.com, and we'll be checking in with you on these airwaves again soon. Thanks so much for doing double duty this week on the In the Money Media Network.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Peter.
Thank you one more time to Eric. Thanks to our friends and sponsors over at Keeneland. We'll be back with a show for Friday. Going to be doing something a little bit different on Friday. Going to have two guests. Going to talk a little bit of racing history with Jennifer Kelly, in addition to some handicapping with our man Larry Roman, who's got one in the Benelli on Friday. Anyway, stay tuned for that. Subscribe to In the Money Podcast, In the Money Players Podcast, wherever you get your pods. And we'll be back very soon. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos.